Looking back and pressing forward, it's a new project called Revival. The group, Karen Peck and New River. And they're here today.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
We love this sound when a new project comes out, or if it's an old familiar song. I love the sound of New River. Of course, it's Karen Peck, Susan Jackson, and Jeff Hawes. And guys, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
It's good to be here, Daniel.
You know what? You guys seem to always do, obviously, great music. And I could sound like a broken record if you go back and listen to other interviews. But I know there's a painstaking process that goes into choosing songs and finding out what's going to touch people's hearts. What's the first test of a good song when you guys start listening?
Well, I always say it's the goosebumps, because we say if we listen to a demo of a song and we don't get the goosebumps, then we don't record the song.
And so it has to touch you first, right?
Yes, it has to touch us.
Definitely.
And you can tell, you know, we put so much prayer into the albums. Every album we've ever recorded, we put a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of prayer in choosing the songs. And we always pray, Lord, what would you have us say on this album? Because we know it'll be another year and a half or 2 years before we have another album out. So we want to say what the Lord is leading us to say.
I think one cool thing is Karen, she listens to a lot of the demos before Jeff and I hear it. And so she'll listen, and then she'll bring it on the bus. And we'll all three sit up front, and we'll listen to it. And what's so cool is when it's over with, we'll look at each other and go, wow, that's a great song. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's hitting all three of us at the same time. Wow. And so we know that, you know, that it has a message and it says something.
The project is titled Revival. It's Karen Peck and New River, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
You pray to pass the cup as the angels watched you kneel. You are adding new just how the cross would feel, how deep the spear would go, how sharp the thorns would be, and that your Father would forsake you in your agony.
But you did it anyway. You walked on up that hill, and the sounds of sacrifice are ringing still. You knew the magnitude of the price you'd have to pay.
But for me, you did. Friends would turn their backs on you and leave you all alone to do what only you could do. But among the saddest things that caused your heart to grieve was knowing there were those who never would believe.
Sacrifice are ringing still. You knew the magnitude of the price you'd have to pay.
But for me,
you did it anyway.
You knew my righteousness would never be enough.
It wasn't out of duty.
It was out of love.
and the sounds of sacrifice, they're ringing still.
You knew the magnitude of the price you.
Revival, Karen Peck and New River here today on Daniel Britt and Friends. What song were you maybe not the biggest fan of at the beginning? Or what song grew on you or became more special to you the more takes you took on it or the more times you heard it, the more times you even performed it?
Gosh.
Sweeter as the days go by kind of a thing. You know, the more you sing it, the more it's like, wow, this is a great message.
Talking about this particular album, though?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, Karen wrote a song on the album called Finish Well, and I knew from the beginning that it was a great song. I didn't know how much it was going to impact my life before we ever even recorded the song, and that was cool. My pastor passed away this year. He was 57, had a massive heart attack, and so we had been singing and kind of practicing, just becoming familiar with the song, so I already knew that we got the goosebumps. Mm-hmm. We already knew it was a great song, but he passed away. We went to Alabama to his funeral and went straight from the funeral to Nashville to record this CD, and that was one of the first songs we did that night. And so we were all broken, had been, you know, crying all day. And when she went in there in the studio and started singing the verse to Finish Well, that was the story of my pastor's life. Mm. You know, he finished well. And so from then I was like, that song took a whole new meaning, you know, for me. And it'll always have a special place in my heart every time we've been doing it on stage. And it's just, I go back and I relive that moment. So I knew it was a great song to begin with, but it ministered to me in a totally different way before the CD ever even came out.
So there's a lyric here. There's no truth in saying we've seen our better days. There are the days to be courageous, bold, and full of faith. And it talks about, so who wrote this lyric? I mean, you all, there's several writers on here.
I wrote this song along with Kenna West and Michael Farron. And we were sitting in a room, and I said, okay, I love the scripture, Ecclesiastes 7:10, where it says, it's not wise to say that you've seen your better days because your best days are ahead of you. And so we started, and then, you know, of course, sang the tune of the chorus. And so Michael Farron, he is the, you know, in the band Pocketful of Rocks. Mm-hmm. And so he's a contemporary writer. And so this is, I think, one of his, if not the first Southern gospel song that he's ever written. Mm-hmm. And so we're sitting in there. Of course, I've written with Kenna. And so he said, you know, he said, one thing about you Southern gospel artists, we all know from the contemporary side that Southern gospel artists love to sing about heaven. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, but you haven't heard my group. And I thought, you know, we sing more than just about
right.
heaven. And then,
right.
of course, at the time, our single was, our radio song was On the Banks of the Promised
right.
Land.
Right.
So, you know, and then I got to thinking on the way home, we do
maybe
sing
we
about
do.
Heaven.
Yeah.
You know, all the, but that is the final destination. And
yeah.
we have to make sure we're all ready to, you know, to go to heaven and be prepared and have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So Michael Farron said, so since you all sing about heaven so much, why don't we start? There will come a day, I know without a doubt, around the throne the saints will bow and lay down every crown. You know, and then how glorious that yeah. moment to see him face to face. You know, one day we'll see him face to face, but okay, but y'all, let's spin this.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, we have a work to do now.
Right.
Wow.
So let's
yeah.
work hard.
Yeah.
Let's work between now and heaven. Let's work really hard. And when it's all said and done at the end, may the Lord look at us and say, you finished well.
Mm. There will come a day, I know without a doubt, around the throne the saints will bow and lay down every crown. How glorious that moment to see him face to face, to hear him say, well done, my child, you finished your race.
there's reality in that, because I think probably what he may have been saying is, you sing so much about heaven that you are out of touch with reality. And when you get a lyric like this, I think it marries both together and says there's validity in all of that, because you got to go through life and you have real tears and you taste salt, but heaven is real too. And there's, wow, there's truth in that. I love the lyric.
There will come a day, I know without a doubt, around the throne the saints will bow and lay down every crown. How glorious that moment, to see him face to face, to hear him say, well done, my child, you finished your race. But for now the sun's still rising, there's work to still be done while we're waiting for the promise of what is yet to come. Finish well every day that we are given. Finish well for the glory of his name. Finish strong until the Savior finally calls us home. Give it everything we have. Finish well. There's no truth in saying we've seen our better days. These are to be courageous, bold and full of faith. So wherever he may lead us, whatever it may cost, let the church arise and lift the banner of the cross.
Karen Peck and New River here today on Daniel Britt and Friends. Wow, there's truth in that. I love the lyric.
Thank you. And what you're saying, Daniel, is there's another song on there.
Yeah.
It speaks about everybody's going through something.
Yeah.
And it seems like now more than ever that there's things that's going on in people's lives and our lives. And, you know, it's just everybody's going through something. Mm-hmm. So if everybody's going through something, I'd rather go through something with him. I'd rather go through something with Jesus, mm-hmm, if I'm going to go through it. And this song, you know, Karen, she and
Kenna
West and Don Portress wrote this song, too. So it's just, it's an encouraging song.
The project is titled Revival. It's Karen Peck and New River, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
There's a woman living next to me, just trying to make ends meet. She's just one check away from losing it all.
There's a broken man I know, barely holding on to hope. He's trying to get back up from his last fall.
And me, I'm dealing with my own trials that no one else can see. And without Jesus, tell me, where would I be?
faces a storm now and then. So if everybody's going through something, I'd rather go through something with him.
Karen Peck and New River here today on Daniel Britt and Friends. So with the title of Revival and the artwork, you know, I know we were Jeff and I were talking before we went on here about actually holding a CD in your hand. And decades ago, it was holding an album in your hand. And if you were lucky, it had a booklet inside that album, right? Well, with downloads, you don't get the artwork as much. You don't get as much of that, those credits and the lyrics and stuff. But I'm holding the CD and I'm looking through the artwork. You said that this was your photography was done in January.
I think so, January, February. It's cold.
Is there a theme? So I can see a theme in the artwork. What I'm getting, my question is, with the sound of it and Revival, was there a thought process beyond that song that you have on here called Revival? Is there a theme?
You know what, I would say that the theme to this album is you know, we prayed, and that's why we named the album Revival. We prayed that every person that would listen to this album would sense revival in their hearts, because we know that revival starts in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Of course, we all know that our nation needs revival, but there are a lot of revivals that are breaking out all over the world, and America included. I mean, there are a lot of places we go that are just on fire for the Lord. And so one thing about it, we never plan what the albums how they will turn out. We just say, okay, God, just teach us, you know, what we're supposed to say, you know, lead to us the right songs. And it seemed like everything falls into place. But one thing that we wanted to do also with this song and with the song Revival is, you know, Susan and I grew up singing at those old camp meetings, those old tent revivals where it's 101 outside, and you know, and it's so hot, and we can remember the old ladies shouting the hair out of their pen, you know, their pins out of their hair, you know. Yeah, you know, they put
that
their
too.
Hair. Yeah, that too. The old ladies. ladies would have their hair up, and you know, the grandmas would have their hair in buns with pins in their hairs, mm-hmm. and they would just shout the glory down, and people getting saved and coming down and praying. And then we remember, you know, my goodness, preachers that would preach so hard that they would run the back of the pews. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, you know, to think about those days. I'm so glad that we have those great memories. And the thing is that now we're saying, hey, you know, things may be a little different these days. We may not see that, you know, a lot of those old tent revival meetings mm-hmm. anymore. But, you know, hey, the face and the mm-hmm. you know, the places may change. But one thing remains the same. There's still revival.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then I want to tell you this story. I haven't got to tell this story very often. But the very first camp meeting I remember singing at was at a Methodist camp meeting in Dawsonville, Georgia. And not long ago, there was a lady that's a friend of ours, mm-hmm. And called my husband and said, "Hey, listen, the old campground, they're getting rid of their old benches, and some of them are like 80 to 100 years old. And wow. my dad and my grandfather actually built those benches. And if you want any of those for your homecoming, we have a homecoming every Father's Day right. weekend." She said, "You're welcome to them. Just come and get them." And then I got to thinking, my very first tent revival was there at that Methodist campground, and we have got wow. some of those benches there. And it was just so funny. And we had just written the song. Mm-hmm. The song had just come out as a single on radio, wow. and it was just so surreal. I mean, it was just a great moment.
Isn't that incredible? Well, you touched on this. So you may not see the tents that much anymore. And even the redback hymnals, some churches still hold on to them. But, you know, a lot of churches now, the songs are on the wall. And there's a new kind of a sound in our church music. But, what, you know, you could say, "Oh, how I long for the old days." But there's also good in what's happening today. And God's still at work. So with honoring and respecting what you're talking about in the song, where do you find that? What do you think your kids are going to look back on in 50 years and say, remember back when Mom made that album called Revival, what we were doing, and then it's going to be a thing gone by. You ever think about that?
You know what I do? The thing is what I hope my kids will look back on, especially because since they have spent their lives on the road, that they will look back on and see the hunger that we had for the Holy Spirit, for yeah. the Lord to move.
Right.
And they have been in a lot of services that have been revivals. Mm-hmm. I mean, that have had that revival spirit. And so I hope that my kids will remember that. But I'll tell you this, however the Lord wants to do it, mm-hmm. whether it's the Redback Church hymnals or whether it's up on the wall, as long as the Lord shows up, mm-hmm. as long as God's presence is in these churches and as long as people are being saved and they're being healed and they are being encouraged to keep moving forward to the Lord and they're becoming better Christians for the, you know, for the Lord,
yeah.
for the kingdom,
right.
then let's move forward. Let's
yeah.
not go behind because of the scripture that says in Ecclesiastes, your best days are ahead of you.
Mm.
So we have to know that revival is still in our future, that we will always, as long as we are seeking the Lord, we will find Him, and there will always be revival as long as we're seeking Him.
The project is titled Revival. It's Karen Peck in New River, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Are coming from far and wide. Old camp meeting on the county line. 101, yeah, it feels like revival. Redback hymnals, folding chairs, canvas tent in the open air, sawdust floor and a Holy Ghost prayer. Revival.
Preachers preaching all day long. Sing another stanza of that hallelujah song. Of wild. One more sinner gonna be baptized. Revival.
Old things are passed away. name. The names and the place and the faces change, but one thing remains the same.
Karen Peck and New River here today on Daniel Britt and Friends.
I think in the songs, the older songs, the great songs can go on through, you know, and you can intertwine both.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen it happen. Yes. You know, you can sing a praise and worship song and come right back in and sing Amazing Grace,
right,
and it fits.
Right.
So a great song will always fit and stay true.
You know, I saw, in fact, what you said is true, because I think a lot of the younger generation, when they hear an older song, even with some of the older language that's in it, it's kind of like it's a new, it's kind of fresh to them, I think. You know, to us, it's old hat, we've got the verses memorized, but to fresh ears, they're taking in these words like, wow, this is really poetic, or this really is deep. You know, I found that to be true with a lot of these songs. And I saw a study just today about baby boomers. If you're between the age of 49 and 67, you're a baby boomer, okay? And they're talking about the great achievements in church life that boomers have had. And it has to do with being hands-on. Now, Jeff, I don't think you're in that category.
No.
Sorry.
Almost.
Easy, Daniel.
But you can see Susan and I. Susan, it's been a long time since somebody says we're anything, baby.
I know. So there you go.
Except a second childhood. But we have a ways to go before we get to that place.
But you're kind of like dirt under your fingernails, kind of a generation. You want to get out there and do something and make a difference. And 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was youth ministry. And there was a whole article about how you guys changed the youth culture in church life. And now, and don't laugh, but now you're taking that same kind of revolutionary tactic to the senior citizens. And you're saying, we got to jumpstart this age group too. And so you guys are just moving and shaking. And I think that brings it all full circle what we're talking about on this project. That's good.
That's cool. Well, we hope we're moving and shaking.
Yeah.
We're just, at this point in our lives, we're just glad to be moving. Like Susan, yeah.
One day I was walking in a world of sin, no rest for my weary soul. And then I met a man who said he'd be my friend, and all my burdens he did roll. God took those worldly desires, gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. And since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I've got the joy, joy, joy in my soul. Joy in my heart, joy in my mind, joy since that happy day. Joy in my hands,
Karen of Karen Peck in New River. Now, Jeff, you don't live in Georgia. I thought after these many years, you would have eventually seen the light and moved over to where Karen and Susan live. So you still drive to meet the bus.
I do.
So you live alone there in Alabama?
I do. I'm not going to be a Georgia Bulldog. No. There's never going to. I will never be a Georgia Bulldog.
Okay.
No, it's only 3 hours, so it's really not that far. I do live alone, and so it kind of gives me my quiet time. And I love the journey from my house to theirs, because that's a lot of my quiet time with the Lord.
Okay.
And so you get to see the beautiful country, and I get to jam out to Karen Peck and New River songs and practice, on the way there. So it's cool.
I would normally ask you this question if it were just you and me, but since they're here, I asked this first, have you guys ever been to his house?
No.
We have never been to his house.
He's told us all about it, but we've never been to his house.
But honestly, if we ever sing in his area, it's usually a fast day.
Yeah.
So we have really not had a chance to see his house. But he tells us about it. He's been fixing it up, and he cooks, and we're giving him recipes and things like that.
So maybe for Thanksgiving.
You're going to cook for us a turkey and dressing.
Yeah, I don't know about the dressing or the turkey. We might have a sandwich.
It's so funny. We'll be at home, and all of a sudden we'll get a text. How do you cook this?
Yeah.
And it's like you give him the recipe and send it to him,
That's funny.
He's cooked it.
Just this week, actually.
Yeah.
Well, so this is my question. If they were to come into your house, and you know them well enough by now, they're going to walk into your front door, I guess, and make themselves at home. You bring them a glass of tea, and they're going to sit there and look around. Mm-hmm. What are they going to notice? What's going to be the first thing that Karen or Susan will say? Now, Jeff, we love you, but what's this about?
Gosh, probably all the piles of clothes.
That won't be any different than the bus.
No, that's right. It won't change anything.
Right.
I don't know. That's
do you have
that's
like
a
knickknack
question.
Or something that's just like, what's the story
just
behind
like,
that?
Where that?
What's that artwork?
Well, it's behind all the clothes. That's the
right.
The knickknacks are in the floor. Still haven't unpacked. No, one thing cool, though, and my mom, she always comes over, and I have a picture. No joke, I'm not just saying this because they're sitting here, but on one of the coffee tables, there's a picture of us when we went to Hawaii a few years ago. And so my mom comes in and she's like, "What is up with that? You don't have one single picture of your family in here, but you've got one of Karen and Susan." She was like, "I'm all right with you singing, but I don't want you to have any more family. You've got enough." So she always gives me a hard time about that.
That's funny.
But
you've been to their house, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So what's the one thing, like, you know, that I would walk in and be like, "Susan, what's that?" Or, I mean, does she have a dump truck award? Susan? There's a backstory to that.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody would have to get on KarenPeckinNewRiver.com and find out what that's all about.
That's right.
Gosh, I don't know. I know there's got to be something funny to this, but y'all just have normal stuff.
We're just very normal. Very plain.
The smell of burnt green beans.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard about that.
Gosh, I have to think about that one. They're pretty normal for all the people who are wondering if there's anything crazy out there.
Well, Karen, you have been involved with Hollywood now on more than one occasion. So is there something we need to know?
You know what? I'm having a really good time. I mean, this is an area that I'd never been down before when I did the movie Joyful Noise. And then now there's a new movie that I'm actually acting in, not singing, but I have a very small role in a Christian film that will come out in April of 2014, and it's called Redeemed. And so I'm loving this. It has been a great experience for me. Susan and Jeff and my two kids, Matthew and Carrie, went out with me to L.A. a few weeks ago, and they supported me while I did my acting, my 2 days of acting. They were out shopping and having a good time at the beach. And I tell everybody, Ellie Mae Clampett and the Clampetts went to L.A. So.
Right.
We went to Hollywood.
Yeah. What's so funny is Matthew. I was trying to get everybody on the same plane to fly out there. Well, Matthew and Jeff was on another airline, but they came in like a few minutes early, and so we split off at the the airport. Well, they called and said their plane was delayed. So I had to get Karen to where she's going to be. So they took a taxi from the L.A. airport to Santa Monica Pier, but not thinking that they've got their luggage with them.
They really are the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah. And they're pulling their luggage. Tell what happened.
Pulling their luggage along.
Yeah. And so we get on the Santa Monica Pier, and we're walking around. No joke, we get to the beach, and this guy goes, "Jeff!" And I'm like, "Wait a minute, what?" And he's like, "Jeff, yeah, man, Jeff." And I'm like, and I was almost rude to him because I was trying to figure out, is there somebody behind it? Yeah, who is this? And he was like, "Dude, we're Facebook friends." And I was like, "No way." And I said, "Are you from LA?" And he was like, "No, I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm just here on vacation." But that shows you everybody is always watching.
Yes,
you never know where Facebook friends are going to pop up.
Wow.
The project is titled Revival. It's Karen Peck in New River, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Karen Peck and New River here today on Daniel Britt and Friends. Which one of you is the most punctual? You're really on time for everything, Jeff?
I'd say Jeff. Jeff's most, he's more
and
punctual.
That's not saying much.
So, Jeff, how do you deal with people in your life who are habitually late?
Oh! Well, I say
rewrite the rules for them.
Makes me feel better about myself because I can always compare myself to somebody else.
That's right.
You know?
That's
good. But,
Karen rewrites the rules, though. Yeah. Hey, you want to know what my rule is?
What's that?
And I always say, okay, excuse me, y'all have forgotten the rule. What is the rule?
Oh, yeah.
What's the rule?
Right.
The rule is, you wait on me, but I don't wait on you.
Exactly. So I can be late, right. But you can't be late. I'm calling you. Where are you? Are you coming? You know, but then I can be late. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry I'm late. And I do say I'm sorry. Yeah. I will still be late. Yeah. But I will say, at least I will say I'm sorry. But oh, no, I don't like to wait.
There's a road that starts at Calvary's cross and it winds through history. It carried the truth of the Savior's love till it found its way to me. I was 8 years old when I was told I could call upon His name. It was childlike faith I had that day and I've never been the same. I'm saved by His glorious grace, my heart has been set free. Start in Romans 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of what we're meant to be. But if you'll confess that He is Lord and believe His word is true, then life eternal will be yours. Praise God, you'll shout it too. I'm saved by His glorious grace, my heart has been set free. My heart has been set free. I'm saved. Now I sing hallelujah. I've been reading. I'm saved by His glorious grace. My heart has been set free. I'm saved. Now I sing hallelujah. I've been reading. Hallelujah. I've been reading. Hallelujah. I've been reading.
From Revival, and I want to get back to a song on this, but we're going to turn the spotlight elsewhere for a minute, and that is, think of a song, if you can, narrow it down to one, each of you. One song that somebody else has sung that has impacted you the most. So if tomorrow you just needed to hear that song and you needed to go to iTunes and buy it, you would go buy it from fill in the blank, and what song that would be.
Mine would definitely be, it's a song called You Were There. Avalon recorded it, mm-hmm. But Taranda Green has also recorded it. And I was going through a really tough time in college. My aunt had passed away with cancer. I was 5 hours away from home, and I couldn't do anything. I was helpless. And I remember hearing that song. I had was able to stream a local radio station at home. Mm-hmm. And so I was online streaming that, and then that song came on and it says, You Were There. And it talks about how God was there when Abraham was going to have to kill his son, Isaac, and when David faced Goliath, and then ultimately when Jesus was on the cross, you know, that God was there in all those unique moments. And I remember just getting down on my floor and I was crying because I felt so helpless. Like I couldn't help my aunt. I couldn't be home, and I was at school and it was hard. And I remember God just, I know that song came on the radio at the exact time that I was supposed to hear it, but He was there with me. That the God of the entire universe, who was there in all those pivotal moments in life, was there with me in my dorm room, you know, at that specific time. And that He was going to get me through it, and that He was going to get my family through it. And I've heard that song many times, and every time it's like I go back to my dorm room, you know, when I was in the floor, right, just saying, God, I need help. And so that song will always, always be an encouragement.
Because you were there, you were there, in the midst of danger, snare. You were there, you were there, always.
I think one of my
favorite right now is Sherry Easter. I love Sherry Easter, but she has a song that talks about Hear My Heart. Mm-hmm. And I love the line, it says, I'll be quiet so you can hear my heart. And a lot of times, you know, she was going through breast cancer and she had everything against her, you know, and she's like, Lord, I'll be quiet so you can hear my heart. So I guess that's one of my favorites right now.
Lord, right now I need you to know just how I feel. When there are no words to say and no prayer that I can pray, hear my heart.
So the question is, what song has impacted you the most that you didn't record?
I'm thinking of so many songs in my mind that I can remember as a little girl playing the piano and sitting in my living room and playing and singing He Touched Me. And I can remember the first time that we were actually a part of the Gaither videos, and Bill and Gloria were standing, and they were singing He Touched Me along with the choir, and it became such a moment for me. Like, I can't believe that here, growing up, you know, I've sung that song my whole life, and I'm actually standing here singing in this choir with the actual writers of the song and the people that I admire so much. I guess I'll have to say that stands out to me the most.
And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
There's a song on this project with Karen Peck and New River from Revival that's called Dancing Like Lazarus. Now, you cannot come to a Karen Peck and New River song, concert, without hearing 4 Days Late, which is about Lazarus. And so now you got Lazarus Part B, right?
Oh, yeah. This is Lazarus Part 2 that comes. We'll do it after 4 Days Late because they're like, I want to hear that other Lazarus song. I did not come to hear a new one about Lazarus. But it takes on a different perspective of, you know, I'm a changed person. And just like he was raised from the dead, so have I been. Right. And so I'm dancing. You know, I'm alive. And I want to dance like Lazarus. I'm the man who saw his child healed. You know, I'm all these different things in life. So it's a fun, upbeat song about the change that God does in your life.
And Joseph Habedank had a hand in writing this, and Joseph has written a lot of great songs lately.
Yes. Actually, we love the demo. Joseph sang on the demo, and we thought, oh, wow, this is... Now, Jeff Halls, this has his name on this song, and Jeff did such a great job.
And Sue Smith and Tony Wood also are on that song.
Those who haven't seen me in a while say I am different since the day that Jesus turned my life around. Here's what you should look for if you want to recognize me. I'm a soul that once was lost but now I'm found. So nothing is the same. Oh, how I've been changed. I am singing like a blind man when God is sight that day, laughing like a Jairus watching his little girl run and play, shouting like Peter when he came from the empty grave, and I'm dancing like Lazarus when the grave clothes fell away. When the grave clothes fell away.
Karen Peck and New River, Jeff. Karen and Susan are with us here today. Susan, we know a lot about Karen. I want to know about you. And we all have plans that go awry. We have days that it just doesn't go the way we plan it. But on the perfect day where it goes just as planned, everything is perfect, the sky, the birds, everything, what's your ideal morning routine? Do you have an office? Do you just enjoy coffee on the deck like Karen does? What's your morning routine?
Both. But I have an outside porch swing, and so my husband and I'll go out there in the mornings and drink our coffee, or, you know, I always have to have my coffee first thing in the morning. But, you know, just having my family happy and my husband happy and my son's doing good in school, and, you know, that's a perfect day for me.
How old is he now?
He will be 17 at the end of the month.
Wow.
So he's a junior in high school, and yeah.
Is it true? They say if you die as a parent of a teenager, you go straight to heaven without stopping at the gates or anything. They say you poor dear, come on in.
Oh, yes, for sure. Okay. Terrible twos are nothing compared to teenage years.
Thank you for the encouragement.
Yes.
That's what we're here for. Well, this is a great project. And again, we just don't expect anything else out of you guys. I don't know. If you ever put out a dud, just don't tell us, because we don't know if we'll notice it, okay? Because it's all good. And you mentioned the website, Jeff, but it's there. Mm-hmm. How have you seen that revolutionize your ministry? I mean, you go back 15, 20 years, and we're not in the same world, are we?
No. It's really amazing. I mean, from the very first time that we started emails, I used to sit for hours. And my secretary, we'd have our office open, and we still do. We have it open on Mondays and Wednesdays. And she would print out all of those emails and the paper that we would, that we used. In our office.
And the ink.
And I would sit there for hours, and like I'd be sitting on my porch or sitting in the kitchen or in the den, and I'd sit there and answer every one of those emails. And so now, you know, because of Facebook and Twitter, you know, that has eliminated a lot of that. But now, right. Of course, now I type a little faster, so I can answer those emails a little faster. But it has really revolutionized our ministry in a great way. Just a great tool. I mean, it's amazing the people that you know. Of course, everyone can relate to this, but you know, I mean, your music literally is going to the world, and you know, that's what the Bible says for us to do, is to take the gospel to the world, preach the gospel to the world. And we're so thankful that this music is going all over the world.
When you are doing events, or you're cruising, or you're at a festival, or having your homecoming, or you know, wherever, do you find that people, when they do get a chance to talk to you, they're not asking surface questions anymore? They're going deeper because they know you through Facebook and all of that.
Well, that's really a lot, and because we overshare.
Social cam
completely changed all of that.
They have no more questions.
Because it's like they see us with no makeup, and they see us, you know, cooking and burning beans and you know, baking cakes. And I'll sit on the porch and do my devotions every now and then. And but it's like, and then we'll be on the bus and we'll do crazy things. I mean, you know, funny things, and we're just really silly.
Yeah.
And and so people get to definitely see us in a different light on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, I remember probably 10 years ago, I went to Dahlonega, Georgia, because I grew up in Georgia, and I remember thinking, okay, Gold Rush, this is Karen Peck's home. There should be banners all over this city, you know. And I remember my wife and I, we went to your homecoming. We went and we parked in the grassy field, and it's there near your home, and you have this stage built, and there's a buzz in the air. Everybody's ready for the concert. We were ready. We pulled in. We parked, we walked, we sat down in the grass. We didn't hear one note of music because she got some kind of attack, a kidney or something, and we had to rush to your emergency room. And we never went, and so we were stuck in the emergency room. I've yet to be at one of your homecomings. You still do that, though, right?
We do, and it's so much better now than it was 10 years ago.
You have benches.
we have actually places
to
sit.
And we have a tent. We have a tent.
Nice.
That people can sit in.
It was hot.
Yes. But we've moved it. We used to have it at the fourth weekend in July, but now we have it on Father's Day weekend in June, so it's a lot cooler.
Yeah.
And of course, Indian Creek Baptist Church are so faithful and so great to bring a tent to where, for those that want to sit under the tent in case it rains. But it's just, you know, we've got it a little bit more organized than we did 10 years ago. But we're very excited about that. We feel like this is a way that we can kind of give back to people that have prayed for us all these years, and so many people drive from different states to come and be with us. And we always invite people to come to our home. I mean, it's because that is where we live. And so we built a church, actually a stage that looks like an old church. So it has become a really fun event for us. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
Just keep your faith established on the word of living truth. Our God is faithful to the end, and He will never change. He knows when it's over that you can help me say,
Jeff Hawes, Karen Peck Gooch, and Susan Peck Jackson, and you guys are great. Thanks for keeping the music out here and for serving us and serving the Lord as you do. I mean, it is just outstanding. And I won't say how many years you've been doing it, but it just gets better, okay? Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you for playing our music.
Yes, you've always supported us, and we thank you. And you know what? We just appreciate what you're doing. You keep going. You're doing a great job, and it's good to see these young people. I think we're in good shape. Southern Gospel is in good shape with all these young people that have a heart for this ministry.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.